It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15 and 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
And welcome to the Mark Lloyd Show right here on Freedom 93. We want to thank you for joining us as we always appreciate it each and every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. And we are the home of the Buccaneers. And we have a lot of stuff to get to, as always. Boy, it's as depressing as the end of football season is, it's very exciting when you hear about training camps that are opening up and college football media day / weeks. That means it really is the official start of football for this coming fall, for the 2015/16 season. I hope everybody's having a great morning so far, and let me welcome the crew in, Seminole Bill and Terminus Eric. Seminole, how are you?
Doing great, Mark. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Terminus, you alive? You didn't sound too good a minute ago, but how you doing now?
I'm alive. Good morning, Tallahassee.
There you go. Good morning, Tallahassee. That was nice of him. I don't even say that. But, guys, you know what I'm talking about? Is that when you hear camps opening up, and then the SEC had media week, Big 12, Pac 12, ACC this past week, it is truly the start of, or it almost makes it okay for us to start talking about football in more detail instead of just being generic. Do you agree, Seminole Bill?
Yeah. It's the old phrase that pays. The engines are starting now.
That's right. Start your engines. Absolutely. And so we have a really busy show for everybody, especially now that football's cranking up. We're in the one-minute offense, as always. So a lot of college football talk today. We're going to get into some NFL talk, some Buccaneer football talk later on. Also, we have our entertainment segment, which is going to focus once again on our favorite TV and movies that are out there, and plus the Wakulla Fun Fest that took place last week, which Seminole Bill and Terminus Eric, celebrity guest at each of those events. And we'll get a recap on how that, and how did it go, guys? It went, I know we said last week it went well. Any more details of, what did we focus on last week? The food that you ate?
Oh, yeah. We had fun with the food, but coming up, and we'll get into it later, but coming up, some good changes coming to Fun Fest that'll make it even more accessible to some folks that, get off work later in the day. So we'll talk about that as we get through into that seg.
Excellent. So some changes coming to the Wakulla Fun Fest.
And
real quick, though, when is the next Wakulla Fun Fest?
This Friday, They stay on the same course or every other Friday. So we've didn't have
one this
past Friday.
So the date of it will be what?
The date for that will be the 31st.
The 31st. Okay. The 31st. Oh, same day that you know what? Go to the Wakulla Fun Fest, and then after that night, go see Mission Impossible comes out on the 31st as well. So there you go. What a great great Friday right there. All right, Seminole Bill, but let's get into it. I mentioned this past week, the ACC had their media days, and a lot of good stuff that comes out of it. One thing, and I was very curious about this, and I know you were too, is that we knew it was going to be an onslaught of questions to Jimbo Fisher about off-the-field issues. We just knew it. And even though during the SEC media week, nobody pounded Butch Jones about his players and all the sexual assault charges. Nobody pounded Hugh Freeze of Ole Miss about Larry Tunzel's situation. But, of course, when it comes to Florida State, it's open game, and Jimbo Fisher was peppered with questions constantly about DeAndre Johnson, Dalvin Cook, and what are you going to do, and it's like the program's running wild, et cetera, et cetera. And I just smiled. I just said, you know what? If you're a Florida State fan, you can't let it bother you anymore. What solves that problem, Somerville, what shuts everybody up and what really gets under their skin is, what do you have to go out and do?
Just win, baby.
Go out and win. That's right. Just get out there and win. And it shuts everybody out. Were you surprised at all about all the questions that Jimbo had to answer? It seemed like that team was an afterthought. It was about the off-the-field stuff pretty much the whole time, seemed to dominate the headlines.
Oh, no. That you knew it was coming. It's been rolled up like a red carpet, and now they're just serving up the softballs to any of their drive-by talkers, if you will, that want to comment on that. So, hey, like you said, it's good to be relevant. You know you're relevant when these things matter more than the actual season. But it is important that we get our ducks in a row and that we take care of business at FSU, just like all the other schools should. Make sure we do the right things and make sure we know how to go forward in the future so these things don't happen.
Then some other things that came out of the ACC is, how about this? Clemson was picked first.
Yeah.
Clemson was picked to win it all over Florida State. Clemson, I'm trying to think. They had a record. I'm not kidding you, Simon, but it was like 20-1 against all their ACC teams except for Florida State over the last three seasons, and against Florida State they were 0-3.
Right. Well.
And Clemson is one of those weird teams that sometimes a team just has your number right now, and it seems like Florida State recently, even though maybe they shouldn't have won, like I shouldn't say shouldn't have won, but the odds did not seem to be in their favor. Starting a freshman quarterback on the road against a Clemson team that was extremely high-powered, and Winston goes out there, and that defense just tears Clemson a new one. Clemson comes to Florida State last year to Tallahassee, and Jameis Winston is suspended for the football game. And Sean McGuire goes out there and leads the team to victory somehow because Eddie Goldman rips the ball away from the Clemson running back, and Florida State has the ball again when you thought the game was over, and Rashad Green runs free down the field. McGuire hits him, and Florida State ends up winning the game. I mean, and then the disaster on the goal line for Clemson, where the ball is hiked over his head when he's not paying attention to Sean Watson. So it seems like that it's Florida State against Miami, remember? Better team, dominates the game, misses a field goal. Dominates the game, misses a field goal. Some fluke plays, but Clemson is always loaded. They do a great job of recruiting. They truly are a top five recruiting class. It seems like every single year they get the big boys to come there as well. And they're picked to win the conference. Florida State is picked second. You have any issues with that, Seminoleville?
No, going into the season like it is right now, I think that's right. Clemson, brings back an experienced quarterback who was, solid and returned people on both sides of the ball. They certainly didn't lose as many impact players, if you will.
Not on offense. That's for sure.
Right.
On defense,
not this past
defense,
year.
They
now,
lost
year before,
them yeah.
Right. Year before, yeah. It was they felt it too with Sammy and all their guys going, but athlete to athlete, person to person, player to player on both sides of the ball, they're positioned now to be the big dog in the conference, at least for this year, and it's up to FSU to see if they can go up and knock them off the perch.
And you know what? This goes for most teams out there, but for Clemson, it does boil down to Deshaun Watson, if he can stay healthy, because he is a dynamic playmaker. I mean, the guy has the it factor. There's no doubt about it, Clemson's quarterback. But the problem is he never stays healthy. He's always injured. He's always missing half the season, it seems, in this first couple of years that he's been there. So he's got some growing up to do when it comes to staying healthy. He's kind of like Florida State's Mario Pender. Now, they picked the preseason All-ACC team, and Clemson led that as well with five people. Both wide receivers come from Clemson, and Mike Williams and Artavius Scott. They get the quarterback also in Deshaun Watson. They get an offensive guard in Eric McClain. And on defense, where they lost a lot of players last year, Beasley's in the NFL, Stephon Anthony's in the NFL. They have one guy, Shaq Lawson. Florida State's number two with four players. They have on the All-ACC preseason team Roderick Johnson, the sophomore, the big dude, offensive lineman. And then on defense, they have – who they get on defense? Oh, they Terrence Smith, the redshirt senior linebacker. Right. Also, of course, Jalen Ramsey, no doubt about that. And then they get the kicker, Roberto Aguayo. So, yeah. So they, you know, they're right behind Clemson again when it comes to the preseason. I'm a little shocked that Stample didn't make it as a first team defensive tackle for Florida State. Maybe that's because he was injured, and they don't know how he's going to perform. But and I'm shocked. How do you not put Dalvin Cook? Is it because that he has these off the field issues? Because he's suspended indefinitely right now, and they don't know if he's going to play. So how do you put him on the preseason team? I don't know. But I'm shocked. If that's the reasoning, then I get it. But if not, how do you not team him up with James Conner, running back out of Pitt? They took Cedric Thornton out of NC State. I mean, what? Huh?
I think it's all regarding the situation right now because, you know, even FSU has got to prepare as if he's not going to be there. So until any clarity comes into this situation about Dalvin's issues, off-the-field issues, then I don't think you can count on him being there because he is suspended indefinitely, and that means exactly what it says. He's not being counted on to be on this team.
And you know what's going towards what you said just then about Dalvin Cook, about how Florida State's counting on him possibly not being there, it really just shows, boy, this is why you recruit numerous stars at each position because you never know what's going to happen, of an off-the-field issue, an injury, an academic issue. So Dalvin Cook, the outstanding running back, might not even play, and now you have to lean on Mario Pender, who's extremely talented. And if he didn't get injured against Syracuse, we might not have seen really Dalvin Cook because Mario Pender was tearing it up as well. But his problem, he's like Deshaun Watson. Pender just can't stay healthy. He seems like he's fragile. He's not as big as Dalvin or as thick. He's just as fast as Dalvin Cook. And then you have the freshman, Jacques Patrick, who, yeah, boy. But you know what I'm shocked by? I did not realize how fast he was, that he was in the top three on the team for speed.
Yeah.
That kind of blew me away on that.
It's another, in a positive way, the second coming of a Sammy Smith that actually is big and fast.
But you know what? What a great comparison. Boy, that's old school Seminoleville.
Yeah. Sammy, you know, was deceptively. Yeah. I'll tell you, Sammy, like, you know, in a way like Emmett, Sammy was straight line fast. Emmett was just quick enough to get around you. He was never the sprinter fast. But you know, both of them, if they got past you, were very difficult to catch and bring down. They had that little – Emmett had his own way at UF and in high school to make you miss him. He just could completely, you know, stop, move, you know, whatever it was, take that little step, and you go right by him, and he's in the end zone. And Sammy could just flat out outrun you. And that's kind of what, you know, Jacques reminds you of. He's not afraid to go through you, over you, or around you. So it's going to be interesting to see how he develops. But he definitely could be someone counted on to carry the load if Dalvin does not return.
Now, let me ask you a question, Bill. For Patrick, it's not about talent as in running. It truly is for a freshman. It's all about picking up the pass protection. Am I right?
Yes.
That's going to play a lot, and the Fisher's going to put you out there. Because if you don't know what you're doing when McGuire or Golson drops back and he gets pounded and the ball goes loose, you're not going to be playing much, correct?
And that's what it is for most situations for the freshman, is learning the system. You know, how quickly you pick it up. And it's not easy. It's not high school is one thing, but college is more intrinsic. There's a lot of calls, you know, a lot of checks that you have to do and know and understand, you not just what you're doing, but what your other guys are doing. And so, yes, it's going to really determine how quickly and how much he gets in there, just like the other guys before them, how much they got to play was based on their experience in picking up the system quickly. I will tell you this, one good problem to have with Patrick is, you know, it's hard for a sprint back, someone that's smaller, to make the mistake and get, you know, run over, and then, you know, the quarterback's down on the ground versus a big dude. At least the big dude can get in the way, you know.
Good point.
Can get in the way. But he has to know where to be, or it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
You know.
No. Because, yeah, you got a big, fast dude coming around the end, and if you hesitate for a second, you're not over there, then, you know, he's going to get a free shot at the quarterback, and nobody's going to be happy, and you're not going to be playing too much football. All right, so but we got to take a break. When we come back, though, oh, boy, I wish we had a baby crying sound right now, because that is what the SEC is doing, just whining and crying and making excuses already on why maybe they might miss the playoffs or how hard it is for them to get into it. We're gonna get into that when we come back right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
Are you ready for Wakulla Fun Fest?
Wakulla Fun Fest?
Yeah, Wakulla Fun Fest. You know, the big shindig down off 319 in Crawfordville in Hudson Park?
Yeah, it kicks off Friday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
They'll have a variety of food trucks, arts and craft vendors, a kid zone with fun activities, an Arctic chill zone. Now that's a lot of fun festing.
Yeah, and admission is free.
Don't forget the entertainment. Local and regional bands during the day with a featured act to close things out during the evening. Terminus, do you know what time it is? It's time to head to Wakulla Fun Fest. Wakulla's premier event starts Friday from 11 a.m. till dark in Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone. Join me, Seminole Bill,
and Terminus Eric
from the Mark Lloyd Show with our good friends from Freedom 93 FM and all our wonderful sponsors and vendors. Check out WakullaFunFest.com. That's WakullaFunFest.com. Join us at FunFest.
Hey, y'all. In Wakulla County, we stay at the Magnuson Hotel Wildwood Inn because they sponsor FunFest.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for hanging with us as you do each and every Saturday morning between 8 and 9 right here on Freedom 93 in Tallahassee, the home of the Buccaneers, which is going to be very exciting, Seminole Bill. Before we get into some college football talk, how great is that for Tallahassee Noel fans to be able to continue to listen to Gene Tekeroff announce Jameis Winston's name on the radio, which is the Buccaneers is now the home, or 93.3 is now the home of the Buccaneers. That's going to be fantastic, isn't it?
We're just going to say that's going to be epic. You know, it's a great addition to the station. You know, obviously folks around here know that the 93, you know, has – UF Gator football, of course, Florida football, Florida basketball. You know, we talk our foray of college and sports and pro sports here on the Mark Lloyd Show every Saturday. And, of course, we lean heavy on the pigskin. But to be able to have the Buccaneers on this station and having to be able to follow Jameis, you know, his first, you know, year, rookie year, and knowing he's going to be the guy. And being able to hear old Gene, man, you know. The station really, you know, got to give Piano Man and BK credit. They are doing a fantastic job with their lineup, and we're proud to be a part of it and glad to be holding down the fort on Saturdays.
Absolutely. All right, now, before we went to break, I mentioned that the SEC ended up whining and crying, and there was a great article written on Fox Sports' website, and actually a couple other sites picked it up, so I wanted to get into this, and it's just amazing how the SEC during – their media week, and then they go up and they do the car wash at ESPN where all the coaches go and they talk to everybody. But the excuses that are coming out of their mouths about how almost it sounds like it's not fair to them that they play in the SEC, that there's so many disadvantages. And I can't help but, Bill, I know this doesn't happen, but it seems like that the SEC commissioner sends out talking points to all the SEC coaches. Now, I know this doesn't happen, but it sure does feel like it, and says, hey, these are the talking points about the SEC, how to make the nation and how to influence the media out there. So when decisions come up about whether we're going to get one, two, or some kind of poll question comes out, they're going to lean towards us because they're going to be able to go back to their SEC talking points, and we've brainwashed them already. So Nick Saban, Gus Malzahn, Dan Mullen, Hugh Freeze, Butch Joe, all you guys, Steve Spurrier, take a listen to those, and each one of you guys pick out something that you harp on. And then let's go from there, because that sure is what it seems like. Nick Saban, are you ready for this, Jimbo Bill? What would they do if Jimbo Fisher came out and said this? Saban says the loss against Oklahoma, the team wasn't, when they got blown out by Oklahoma 2 years ago, the team wasn't really interested in the game because they were used to playing for championships, and they just weren't into it. Okay. That's why they lost to Oklahoma, because it's not a big deal. We're not playing for a national championship. Who cares? Let me give you one more, what Saban said. The problem against Ohio State last year was Saban doesn't like this December 15th deadline to have players announce whether they're going to go pro or not because they already have so many NFL prospects. And he said that those pending NFL decisions really came into play in their preparation for Ohio State, when that maybe everybody wasn't so focused. So he doesn't really like that rule. And that's his excuse of why they lost to Ohio State. Can I ask you a question, Seminole Bill? Did Jimbo Fisher come out and say anything about the reason they lost to Oregon? Because as far as I'm concerned, how many guys do they have going to the NFL? A lot more than Alabama.
Yeah. All Jimbo usually says is that today we got beat by a better football team. They played as a team better than we did. Not saying that he doesn't have a great team, but they outplayed us. And
okay,
that's what a coach should say. You know, it's very simple. Yeah. Hey, you know, we got outplayed. We got outcoached. You know, we didn't make the grade today, and unfortunately, in any sport that happens. You know, any given day, someone can rise up and thump you. You know.
So what's with Saban then? Saban, the guy that's won 4 national championships, now he's given excuses for the last 2 bowl games. He's gotten he hasn't lost. He's gotten crushed.
Well, you know, some folks call it saving face. You can't go out there and just admit that you got your doors blown off, and that I mean you can, but the Alabama fans are a pretty harsh group when you start admitting that you just got outplayed. They're not going to really understand that. They expect them to be, you know, undefeated every year. Just, you know, we've got a similar expectation sometimes here. I mean, albeit I think our fans tend to be a little bit more reasonable with their expectations than maybe the Bama fans would be with theirs, given their history. And then, you know, you got to just look at the history and say these guys have won X amount of national titles. They expect to be there every year. You know, no one likes to talk about downtime or transitioning or, hey, we lost to a better team. That's not what your fan base wants to hear.
I sure as hell don't want to hear excuses of that players weren't interested,
right,
or which is in both cases. Now let's move on. Let's stay in the SEC here, Seminole Bill, and Auburn's coach Gus Malzahn, who I'm not a fan of at all. But his problem is, see, his talking points. He Saban took that team's not interested because they used to play for championships, and let's blame the NFL. Gus Malzahn came around and he looked at his talking points. He said, you know what? I'll choose this. Competing in the SEC West is just so hard that we just get worn down. We have so many teams in the top 25 that you guys just don't understand what it's like to compete in that. Now, of course, some of the Bill, when Auburn played Florida State, Gus brought in Cam Newton to talk to the team, and he made sure that he hyped up and harped on the fact that it was such an advantage to play in the SEC and the SEC West that Florida State hasn't played no Alabama football team. Florida State hasn't played a schedule the way Auburn has. Okay, so now that there's no SEC team in the last couple of years playing for the title, or winning a title, I should say, now it's a hindrance. 3 years ago, it was a bonus, but now let's use it as an excuse. How great is that?
Well, you know, it's lovely to use the old yin and yang of psyche. Trying, you know, you're going to play to your strengths. You're gonna talk down your weaknesses. But hey, when you can throw that card on the table and say, hey, well, you know, it works to my advantage to say it this way, where, you know, another time it works to my advantage to say it that way. That's coach talk. You know, coach speak, we call it. So, yeah, he's definitely spinning it whatever way suits his fancy, and whatever way he has to make his own boosters and his own fans of Auburn.
Their own shortcomings.
Yes, they're short. No. He won't own up to them.
What they do is they turn around and they brainwash everybody out there. They keep on pounding this, and next thing you know, everybody says, well, that's the reason. I mean, it's very smart on their point. Now, what Gus Malzahn forgot to mention, Seminole Bill, was that this is the same SEC West teams that went into the bowl season and got absolutely obliterated. This was the same Ole Miss team that got crushed by TCU, the same Mississippi State team that lost to Georgia Tech, this is SEC West, and his own team, Auburn, that lost to Wisconsin, the same Wisconsin team that the game before, they lost it. That Big Ten team, Ohio State, and it wasn't a close game. It was 59-0 Wisconsin lost to Ohio State, but they beat Auburn. That's that tough, tough, tough SEC West.
Well, you know, if I was Coach Malzahn, then I'd probably come back and say, well, you know, just you got to remember, we just won, you know, we're in the national title game a few years ago, and, you know, our guys just weren't as interested in a second, you know, a secondary bowl game or something. They don't care about that anymore. They think they're going to win a national title every year. So they were dejected. They were down, and they just didn't play up to their expectations.
I guess that's the situation we could go with. Also, one of their big excuses is that they're not happy at all with these satellite camps that pop up everywhere, and it's hurting them. You know how Jim Harbaugh went down there and opened up a satellite? We talked about this about a month ago.
Right.
But that's another excuse that they threw out there and went into details about how it's not fair that they're able to, other conferences are able to do this. Of course, they never bring up how it's not fair to the rest of the country that the SEC is so rich and get the best coaches because they could pay the most money. Get the best players, Larry Tunzel, because they can pay the money out there. And are able to get the best players because in the South is where all the talent is. So they forgot to – they left out all that. Now Seminole Bill.
Well,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you don't show your – you don't put your cards face up on the table. You know, obviously all those things most people, at least down in the South, understand and know. The rest of the nation gets played. You know, the hand is played a different way. It's hey, we're the best conference, bar none. You know, we know we are. We draw the fans. We draw the ratings. You know, we get the exposure. We got the best athletes. We can go into everybody else's place and pick them up, but now we've got these people infringing upon our territory and we're being overrun, and it's just not fair that they get to come in here and, you know, hand-pick some guys and talk them up outside of the normal recruiting process, and that works against us, and we just don't like that. Then, you know, it's the SEC machine marches on.
Yes, the SEC machine is marching on. Now, it's funny, Bill, good segue. Thank you for setting me up where you mentioned they don't like when people come in and take players out of there, and obviously when it comes to the SEC and their national presence, that they're able to go and pluck superstars out of other conferences, out of high school. You know, they can recruit the West Coast. They recruit up in the Northeast and the Midwest because Alabama goes up there and gets those guys. What's so funny about that is that the SEC, they have mastered the art of never having to play a non-conference road game.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing, Seminole Bill. Alabama is the king of the neutral site. They faced Wisconsin in Dallas, USC in Dallas. They're going to face Florida State in Atlanta. They haven't visited an opponent stadium outside the SEC since Penn State in 2011. And they won't again until 2018. But here's the best. For all you Florida Gator fans out there, it's downright embarrassing that they have not voluntarily left the home state of Florida since 1991.
They truly are
5 years.
And they truly are the Florida Gators.
Yes, I mean I'm sure Florida State and Miami love the state also, but you know, Florida. I mean, Miami was in Nebraska last year.
Right.
Florida State was just in Oklahoma. Yeah. What I remember. I mean, it's just, it's mind-blowing. Okay, we got to take a break, but we got to get to some NFL talk. But also, though, I have some other stuff to point out about the SEC conference. I got so many good notes this week that we got to drop the hammer on a little bit more because they get away with it constantly, and it's up to the Mark Lloyd Show, Seminole Bill, and Terminus Eric to beat the drum against the SEC because nobody else does and everybody else seems to be scared of them. So we have all that coming up when the Mark Lloyd Show continues. Stay with us.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
Are you ready for Wakulla Fun Fest?
Wakulla Fun Fest?
Yeah, Wakulla Fun Fest. You know, the big shindig down off 319 in Crawfordville in Hudson Park?
Yeah, it kicks off Friday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
They'll have a variety of food trucks, arts and craft vendors, a kid zone with fun activities, an Arctic chill zone. Now that's a lot of fun festing.
Yeah, and admission is free.
Don't forget the entertainment. Local and regional bands during the day with a featured act to close things out during the evening. Terminus, do you know what time it is? It's time to head to Wakulla Fun Fest. Wakulla's premier event starts Friday from 11 a.m. till dark in Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone. Join me, Seminole Bill,
and Terminus Eric
from the Mark Lloyd Show with our good friends from Freedom 93 FM and all our wonderful sponsors and vendors. Check out WakullaFunFest.com. That's WakullaFunFest.com. Join us at FunFest.
Hey, y'all. In Wakulla County, we stay at the Magnuson Hotel Wildwood Inn because they sponsor FunFest.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show, right here on Freedom 93 FM. As always, we appreciate you spending some time with us. Hopefully, you are we're getting your Saturday going in the right direction. Coming up in Seg 4, we still have our entertainment segment. We got a recap, and there's some new changes coming to what we call a Fun Fest, which we're going to get into. Plus, we have our water check and our fitness tip. So, a lot more to get to on the Mark Lloyd Show. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the SEC, and you know what? Similar bill, the SEC, somebody wrote where apparently the E now stands for excuses, because that's what I've been telling you, these crazy stats about how the SEC is making excuses for their upcoming football season. The marketing machine is working on all cylinders right now, all cylinders, to make sure that they're pounding the national media to get a little leeway down the road for whatever they possibly might need, like they always do. Remember, last year it was like, well, SEC should get two teams in the playoffs, don't you think? I mean, heaven forbid, of course they'll at least have one team. So it was almost like unheard of if you thought that they wouldn't have at least one team. Where the ACC, that does an awful job of marketing, it was like, well, if Florida State loses one game, they're out of it. And I'm thinking, really? Really? If Florida State loses one game, they have no chance to get into the playoff? But we're talking about possibly a two-loss Alabama team getting in?
SEC.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
It's very good. All right. here's some other stuff, Seminoleville. Also, there's no other conference that allows schools to near university schedule. Ready? I know you know what I'm talking about. The de facto bye week smack dab in the stretch run of the season. On November 21st, this upcoming football season, I looked this up, okay? Remember last year, we all questioned going, what is Alabama and Ole Miss and Auburn? What are all these teams doing? in November, late November, when everybody's scrambling around, what are they doing playing the Sisters of the Poor and stuff like that? But they get away with it because the conference allows them to. No other conference does. So on November 21st this year, you tell me how this is fair, some of the bills. Ohio State will be playing Michigan State. USC, that's Southern Cal, not South Carolina. Southern Cal visits Oregon. Alabama, who do they play? Maybe, they play Charleston Southern. And Auburn, Auburn plays Idaho.
Oh.
So my question is, Bill, how on earth are they ever going to recover from those games? I mean, they're going to get so beat up, and it's such a tough stretch. How are they going to recover by December 31st? How does that happen when you play it? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
all the conference, they mastered that.
Well, it's their way of slowing the carnage is what they're going to tell you, that they have to have some break other than just their off week to recover from all the pounding that they do in their own wonderful leagues. So, hey, that's, not making a lot of football fans in their stadiums too happy. And I mean, unless they just want to go there and have a pig roast, kick back and pop a few brewskis, but that's really what it sounds like. Hey, let's just, here's our gimme game. Let's, we're going to get an extra home game, and it's going to be a nobody team that's going to come here and get paid more money than they make all season. But we're going to schedule it because we want some time for our guys to get their legs back under them, and we can play mostly second and third stringers by, quarter number two, because we'll be ahead by 40 points. So
that's
how that works.
That's
smart for them that they can do it that late in the year, but they are more and more getting called out a little bit more for it. Last year I heard it, I heard a few people say this just, but obviously people that want the ratings to go up, as the season progresses and you play a team like that, and that just, it's one where you can basically, turn your head and paint a fence and know what the result's going to be. So,
here's my thing,
you know what? Hey, but I will say this, in all good ribbing of our cousins down in Gainesville, they did the same thing with the team from what was it, Georgia, and it didn't work out so well. So,
That's true. Yeah, you're right about that. But here's my thing: is that by constantly complaining, all they're doing, if the national media has any kind of guts, like at least this person does, because they don't have anything at stake on Fox Sports, because they have nothing to do with the SEC. They have the Fox Sports does the Pac-12, but they just bring attention for somebody to dig in a little bit and pull these great stats up, because the SEC also is one of the only remaining power conferences that don't play 9 league games. Remember, that's a big deal, too. They don't do that. And one more thing, Son of a Bill. How can the SEC complain when their 10th place coach made $4 million this past year, while David Shaw, the head coach for Stanford, during the second of his consecutive Pac-12 title seasons, made $2.2 million.
Hmm.
I mean, so they have all this money also, which in return, some of the bill means they're able to build the best facilities. I mean, what does Alabama have, a waterfall in their locker room now or something? I heard.
Oh,
I haven't
standard.
Seen it, but I heard that they have, yeah. that's right.
You should see what Arkansas does. So
it's like the millionaire complaining about who knows what, at his house, that the floors aren't heated enough. Yeah, right. it's just silly stuff.
Rich get richer.
Very
brother.
Frustrated. Yes.
Yeah.
The rich get richer. So just don't complain. Know how good you have it, and go out there and get the best talent. And go win. And if you don't win, don't make an excuse. You didn't win. Okay. So be it.
That's the way it works.
That's that.
It's football.
Yes. That's what sports is all about. You're absolutely right. All right, let's switch gears. Let's jump to the NFL, some of the bill. You want to?
Ready to go.
Excellent. Now, we're the home of the Buccaneers. like we've mentioned a couple times, we're actually going to really every single week in our third segment, which is this segment, we're going to do a Buck Report.
Yeah.
Because 93.3, the station we're on, is the home of the Buccaneers. Jameis Winston's there. Should be an exciting season for the Buccaneers. So we're investing a lot of time and effort now in the covering the Bucs, which is awesome. And we will have a Buccaneers segment. We're going to go to a lot of the games. We're going to report on the football games. And we'll have a segment every single week. So we'll give you some in-depth details, maybe some details that you don't know about that we found out through some research. And we'll preview who the Bucs opponent is the coming week. And we'll recap on hopefully how they won the game this past week and how well Jameis Winston's doing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, the camps are opening. I mentioned early on, some of the camps are opening up in the NFL right now. The Bucs rookies report on July 27th. And I know, obviously, you've never been to that level, but just imagine what that's like where you pretty much know you're going to make the team. Let's go with those. Let's go with the high draft picks.
Right.
That's going to be really exciting that you have that uniform on and you think back on all the years and all the hard work that you put in. And even if you only lasted one season in the NFL, the talent that it takes to get to that level. So on the 27th of July, when the Buccaneer rookies report, that's a pretty awesome day for whoever it is to say, I've made it to the NFL. And there's not that many people that could say that in this world. That's pretty awesome.
Well, yeah, that's a very, very tight fraternity of folks who can say that, man. You know, it's one of those stats that you, as you climb the ladder, the people around you are just ultra-talented superstars that, you know, could play at that level. When you're at that level, you have really made it to the pinnacle. You've weathered so many things. You've come through endless times training. And to walk out, like you said, really knowing that, you know, I made it to this to the pinnacle of my sport. I mean, it's got to be the greatest feeling in the world. Obviously, you're as a competitor, you expect to be there. But you know deep down inside that it's a very select few that make it.
Yeah. It really is. So that means Winston, Kenny Bell, the rest of the rookies and everybody, they're going to show up at the Bucs training camp on July 27th. All indications that Winston is doing a fantastic job. They got the virtual reality system to help him train even more. He also has had an unofficial training camp himself with a lot of the wide receivers. So he's doing everything, similar Bill, that you and I knew that he would do and he would accomplish when he got to the NFL, because he did the same thing at Florida State. And the good news for Winston is that there is talent around him. And to exceed last year's expectations on offense isn't that hard to do, because the Bucs offense last year was ranked 30th in the NFL, 29th in the rush, and 25th in the pass. So I won't even say they weren't too good. They were absolutely awful on offense. So the good news is that Winston just has to do a decent job, and he's going to far exceed what they did last year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He does have some weapons, if you will. He's got some decent receivers there with him. And, you know, they're going to grow together, which is good. Really what you hope is that if you're Jameis, you step in like you did at FSU your first season and show your mettle. You know, just show that, hey, I belong here. I can make the big throws. I can make the key reads. I can stay on my feet long enough to make something happen. And you give him some good receivers downfield and, you know, just give him the ability to get the ball down there. Good things will happen. I mean, you know, they 2-14 last year, Mark. I mean, there's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's nowhere. And they're going to really count on that offense to control the clock, too, because I firmly believe that in order to help out the Buccaneers' defense, and it's not like it's rocket science, you control the clock, you take some pressure off the defense by holding onto the ball a little bit longer, because the defense last year was awful as well. They were 25th in the NFL, 19th against the rush, and 28th against the pass. I mean, those are awful stats. Buccaneers. So if Winston could go out there and do a good job, obviously everybody likes them to do a great job, but do a good job and really run the offense, and they can run the football and spread the ball around through the air. That's going to take a lot of pressure off that defense, which similar to at this point, we feel that they need that.
Oh, yeah. If the offense can just have sustained drives, put the ball in the end zone, get some field goals here and there, they've already done what they weren't doing so much last year, and that alleviates the pressure on the defense to some extent. At least it gives them time to get their breath, to get their legs between series. Going out there 1-2-3 punt, five, six downs, turn the ball over, how they kind of played last year, that doesn't cut it in the NFL. You know, the people make you pay and you're buried. And then, you know, your offense becomes very predictable because it's playing catch-up all the time. And there's not much you can do. I mean, you can't sit there and try and develop a run game or a ground game. If you're behind by, 14 points, you're always, in two-minute mode, like we talk about, trying to catch up. And so if they can get some sustained drives and block well enough to open some holes for those backs, just the fact that they have a quality quarterback that can make certain throws that maybe weren't, their quarterbacks in the past, recent, haven't been able to do, that is going to make them at least better and more deceptive in their game plan. Not that Winston's going to, run around back there like some other quarterbacks might, but he is elusive enough to make a person miss and then make a great throw.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I agree 100%, Stone Bill. Good stuff. Folks, be on the lookout every single week now on the Mark Lloyd Show. Segment 3 is going to be our Bucs report. So we're really excited about that here on the Mark Lloyd Show. All right, when we come back, we have Seg 4, Stone Bill, and that's our entertainment segment. So big changes coming to Wakulla Fun Fest. Also, we have our fitness tip and our water check. All that coming up. Stay with us right here on the Mark Lloyd Show.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
Are you ready for Wakulla Fun Fest?
Wakulla Fun Fest?
Yeah, Wakulla Fun Fest. You know, the big shindig down off 319 in Crawfordville in Hudson Park?
Yeah, it kicks off Friday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
They'll have a variety of food trucks, arts and craft vendors, a kids zone with fun activities, an Arctic chill zone. Now that's a lot of fun festing.
Yeah, and admission is free.
Don't forget the entertainment. Local and regional bands during the day with a featured act to close things out during the evening. Terminus, do you know what time it is? It's time to head to Wakulla Fun Fest. Wakulla's premier event starts Friday from 11 a.m. till dark in Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone. Join me, Seminole Bill,
and Terminus Eric
from the Mark Lloyd Show with our good friends from Freedom 93 FM and all our wonderful sponsors and vendors. Check out WakullaFunFest.com. That's WakullaFunFest.com. Join us at FunFest.
Hey, y'all. In Wakulla County, we stay at the Magnuson Hotel Wildwood Inn because they sponsor FunFest.
It is the Mark Lloyd Show on Freedom 93. We say come back pretty much from every segment. We do appreciate you spending some time with us every single Saturday, 8 to 9. Hopefully, you're enjoying the show, and we're getting you ready for your Saturday because it always gets us fired up, and when we get done with the show, we're ready to go. We're ready to accomplish whatever we want to do on this Saturday. Now, Stumble Bill, Seg 4, entertainment segment, water check, exercise tip. I got the exercise tip. It's a good one this week, which I think you'll appreciate. It really is. I'm going to give you the three of the most effective training suggestions where they interviewed over 1,000 certified personal trainers. These were their three top things, which is really good. But before we do that, let's get our water check. What do you
think? I'm ready for it.
So, Bill, let's really throw things into a crazy spin right now. Terminus Eric, you go first. You go first this week. Give me a water check, brother.
20.
20?
And we're laughing because you're proud, or you're laughing because, it's awful?
Well, I'm awake. I'm energized, but I'm at 20. But it's still early.
Okay.
What, 8:30?
You're right.
Rolls a little bit later than most people.
I could have read an article about dehydration signs and symptoms, but since you're at 20 ounces, we don't have to go there. So, Bill, what are you at? Hang on. Hmm. You know what? There's a couple of people pointed this out to us, some of the fans. They pointed this out to us. They said, hang on, guys. They were calling this out a little bit on how many ounces of water that we've drank, and it's only about whatever, 8:45 when we do this part of the segment. And I said, okay, we need to be a little more clear when it comes to that. It's kind of like this. It's almost the day before that leads up to this point, you know, because nobody's, at least I know, I've not had 80 ounces of water at 8:30 in the morning. That means all I do is just get up and just drink the whole time. So it's kind of like a 24-hour period, right, Similar Bill?
That is correct. We're on a 24-hour
Yeah, so I 24 hours. So it's my fault for not describing it better. So 24 hours. And maybe that's why Terminus Eric has always been so poorly on his drinking habits. When it comes to water, alcohol, and other beverages, he's top-notch, man.
He's great.
He's a top-five team. Yeah, yeah. When it comes to the other stuff, not so much. But Seminole, so what are you at?
I'm at 69.
Okay, not bad. I'm only at 72.
I am chasing you.
Yes, yes, you are. You are chasing me big time. Now, our fitness tip for the week. They surveyed 1,000 certified trainers, and it just went away from me in front of my computer, but that's okay because I think I remembered it. How funny is that? The page freezes up. What's weird is that, and it dropped down to where the page is still there that I'm reading from, WebMD. It dropped down where it has stuff that doesn't make any sense to me. And the actual tips are up higher on the screen where I can't get to it. But one was at least 20 minutes of strength training twice a week will really do wonders for your body. The second thing is we know this, and that is to do some interval training because it really, really speeds up your metabolism. So maybe you like doing cardio because that's the third one, is to be consistent on your cardio exercise. But even if you're consistent on the cardio exercise, make sure, Seminole Bill, that you mix in some interval training. So if you're doing your walks like you like to do right now, make sure that you walk a little fast on some of them and go a little quicker. So just simple things like that. Three tips that on the survey. So it's very easy to do, but it's just about being consistent. So interval training, stay consistent on the cardio, and get 20 minutes of strength training twice a week. Good, right?
Very good. I like that.
Excellent. Now, entertainment segment. Once again, have you guys had a chance to watch True Detective? No? You're watching The Strain?
We are watching The Strain.
Okay. All right. True Detective is pretty good. So one of these days you got to check it out. We don't have a lot of time, so let's get into what I call a fun fact. We mentioned the other one last week was a big success. The next one is coming up this Friday, but there's some changes to the Wakulla Fun Fest. And what are those, Seminole Bill?
Well, we're pushing things into the afternoon, later in the afternoon start time. So it'll be a 4 p.m. start going forward. And that's good for folks that want to, you know, get through with work, come on down and bring the kids and everything. And that's what we're gearing towards. You know, you start something, you start it with the process in mind. And the process is we're putting this at a 4 p.m. start going forward. The organizers think that'll allow our parents and folks that are doing things during the day to get out there and celebrate with us into the evening and around, you know, 8 o'clock or so. And that makes it a jam-packed 4.5 hours worth of fun at FunFest.
You know what? Here's what I like, Seminole Bill, is that one is that they're listening to Seminole Bill and Terminus Eric, but also I like that all of you guys that are out there at the Wakulla Fun Fest, when it happens, is that you listen to feedback from the folks too that say, hey, we love coming, but is there any way you could adjust it? So you listen to the feedback and then you give the people what they want. I mean, the reason you created and are a part of the Wakulla Fun Fest is because you listened to people and they said that this is something missing. So you're fortunate enough to be the celebrity guest host out there each week, but you guys are listening to them, so it's now going to start at 4 o'clock, go to 8 o'clock, but it's going to have all the same fun and pizzazz and pow that the other one, the Wakulla Fun Fest, that just lasted longer, so it's going to have the same stuff out there, correct?
That's correct. Food vendors, you know, arts and crafts, all kind of things for the kids to do, whether it's face painting or you know, some type of ride or of course, the water slides, which they absolutely love. And, you know, we'll be out there having a great time and enjoying the festivities. And it's just now we're going to get
to entertainment, right? You're still going to have it. Okay.
Absolutely. We'll still be bringing in acts and new things coming. And there'll be some surprises coming down the road, which you'll help be a part of. And some interesting things for the kids coming down the road as well. So stay tuned. More stuff coming. Just join us at Hudson Park every other Friday at Wakulla Fun Fest, 4 p.m.
So it's this coming Friday, though.
This coming Friday,
4 p.m.
there. Yep.
Wakulla Fun Fest at Hudson Park. For more information, they can go to WakullaFunFest.com and also check out the Facebook page, Facebook.com/WakullaFunFest. Fest, or call 877-738-3681. All right, that's going to do it for the show, Seminole Bill. Like we said, we're always in the two-minute drill. So, for Terminus Eric and Seminole Bill, I'm Mark Lloyd, and those two guys will see you at the McCullough Fun Fest this coming Friday. Take care, everybody.